Binary Jazz. Yeah, we're back. Season 2. Episode... Yeah, or 10, but we decided we weren't going to binary the season numbers because that's too hard. Yeah, I'm back. My name is Chris, Jazz Sequence on the Internet. I am with Gary... Binary Gary on the Internet. He's a professional deception specialist. And
a professional what?
Deception specialist.
I was trying to throw you off the trailer.
Yeah. but yeah, you failed. And Allison, who's Allison Plus on the Internet, who is a librarian at a library that nobody goes to, and is also responsible for asking us questions that we don't know the answers to.
But she knows the answers to because she has access to all the books and no interruptions.
And all the things.
And no interruptions. That's the key part of that.
So, yeah, how are you guys doing?
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
2019, clean slate. Let's do this.
I was...
I had a call last Wednesday evening, although in the context of a podcast, who the hell knows when that was?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's just say it was like several days ago, 8 to be exact, with some friends. And the conversation was resolutions, yay or nay. And then if yay, what resoluting or resolving?
Is that a query for the general population of yay or nay resolution?
I mean, if you want to grab out and go with it, go for it. If not, that's fine too.
I'm not anti-resolution.
I thought that was your anti-resolution.
No, I'm not anti-resolution. Oh. I don't have anything definitive currently. I kind of like try to pick a thought or a theme and like crunch all my ideas around that, but I don't really have anything. As of yet. Yeah. We'll see. Something will be a brewing, I'm sure.
I have no resolutions. I had not resolved to do anything. I thought about it, and that was about it. I mean, I thought about the concept of New Year's resolutions, but...
I also like the idea of non-goals, like things that I was doing fine last year that I just kind of want to keep doing. Rather than turn over a new leaf where I'm just like, oh, like I was really rocking out. Like I eat a lot of fruit. I'd like to keep eating a lot of fruit or whatever it is. I don't know.
That's great though.
Yeah.
That moment of recognition, like, yeah, I don't have any like major things that I need to quote unquote fix. So keep sticking with what's working for me.
Well, I definitely have things I need to fix, but yeah. Like there's still good chunks there that like need to be like continued rather than just like abandoned.
You're like, I have things I need to fix. And they'll either take way less than a year or way more than a year. So to tie them to resolution would be ridiculous.
Well, yeah. And you don't want to like, I don't know. No one wants to set themselves up for failure, or at least I don't. I don't know. Maybe I should speak for myself. Raise your hand if you want to set yourself up for failure.
I mean, I'm a programmer, so.
There will be frustrations and failures along the way. I don't know. My leaf is okay. I don't need to turn over a whole new one.
2 minutes ago, I got a Slack ping. I usually ignore them in the evenings, but for some reason I was on the computer and saw it, and QA was like, should this 500? No. The answer was like, always no. Like,
always.
I didn't even know that ticket.
Should this 500?
Yeah.
For those of you who are not familiar with internet errors, a server error 500 is an internal server error where something fairly significant has broken and refused to let the page render. Usually caused
by explosion.
Programming error, yes.
Yeah, 100% programming error all the time.
The more you know.
The more you know. I was telling my family about the podcast, my parents about the podcast over the break, and I explained, you know, it's binary jazz because I'm jazz sequenced. It's binary Gary, and we number our episodes in binary. We've done about 40 something episodes, and he's like, oh, so but you number it in binary? I'm like, yeah. So what number are you on? I'm like 1011. He's like, okay, never mind.
See, it's a good way to, like, no one's counting.
No one cares.
Yeah.
I was telling my
family about the podcast, mostly because I was trying to teach them how to upload podcasts, and then I quickly realized that I was like, oh, this is here. I'll download this one for you. I'm on it, which will, like, entice you to, like, learn this process. But it didn't go as planned. We'll see. Maybe next holiday season we'll get everybody on board with podcasts.
Yeah, podcasts became a topic of conversation more than once. So it just sort of came up. I'm like, well, I kind of know a little bit about podcasts because
a little bit.
We have one.
Well, and also
I'm always surprised to discover that I'm on a podcast. Because this does just feel like hanging out. And then people talking like, yeah, you know. Oh, I did a podcast interview last week. I'm like, I did one. Oh, no, wait. I actually host one. Never mind. Yeah. You're not invited. Sorry.
We're legitimate people. This legitimizes us, right? Like, I don't know. It just sets us forever in the archives of the internet.
I don't know about forever.
Oh, man. Internet archive. Do you use the Internet Archive to, like, pull, like, someone's like, hey, do you have a portfolio? You're like, crap. And then, like, the Internet Archive for your previous work?
No, that's not a thing that I do. Probably I should, though, because...
Totally not a thing I've ever done either, obviously. Just a crazy...
Because after several like computer changes and hard drive wipes and various other things, and I don't think I have anything remotely similar to... relating to previous work that I've done as a freelancer.
Well, that's the cool thing with Internet Archive, right? You got a screenshot and then you annotate the screenshot, explain what it did, and say, sorry, the code's proprietary. We're gone.
I've used it for like getting, like, scraping past blog posts that I didn't, like, back up from ages and ages and ages ago before I knew that things disappeared.
I've used it to find old websites of mine that I no longer maintain, that don't exist anymore.
The domains that have gone by the wayside.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I used to have a site on sfgoth.net. And I actually had two, because I had one site that was mine and one site that was the sfgoth.net models index. Which had about 8 people. and then I had one on my old college server that is no more.
That's amazing. Oh.
I have pulled at various times most of the content off of those things, though. At least the content. When I pulled the content off, I saved them as pages on my regular site, and then that gets backed up.
Ah, okay. So that, yeah, gotcha. So now in perpetuity, that's backed up until the next time something breaks.
Yeah. Well, jazzsequence.com is never going to die. It's just always going to be forever. I actually bought domains for the kids over the break too. Yeah, I got GavinReynolds.com, I want to say, and LilaReynolds.com and GavinReynolds.me, because they are available, and I've been looking off and on for a while to sort of have something that is, you know, in case you want to use this in the future for email, for a website, for whatever, here's a thing. I finally found them. I finally found they're available, and because they hadn't been at various times, so yeah.
I did that for my niece. I realized that But I did it kind of weirdly in secret because I realized. And let's see if my brother even listens to this podcast. But he had not purchased my niece's domain name, and so I scooped it for the next 5 years. And I have yet to decide what to do with it. Part of me is just going to play the long game. And then part of me is like, maybe I should throw something weird up on it.
I think you should totally figure out what to like use it as a redirect domain.
Yeah.
And just make sure it pops up from time to time in family conversation.
Just be like,
yeah, and then people go to it. Weird that it resolves to like the Museum of Tissues or something.
There was this really like specialized Japanese knife company. It's just so odd. Yeah.
Coupon applied.
But yeah, I'm curious to know how long it will take him to be like, oh, maybe I'll buy a thing, like a domain or whatever, and then realize it's taken.
What's with coupons on Amazon? It doesn't make any sense. Like, you go to buy a product, it's like, oh, you can apply a coupon to this right now. Why not just put the selling price at what the coupon gives me?
Amazon.
I have to click twice now to get
it. Because the selling price is defined by the seller, and the coupon is offered by Amazon.
But as a seller on Amazon, I could add coupons to my products. So I...
Yeah, well...
Maybe for tracking, like, it's more of a promotional, they want to see where you're from, and it's like the 10% is not really the point of it. It's more like they want to see where you're entering from.
Well, no, this is like on the actual product listing on Amazon.com. So like below the price, it's like, oh, and there's a 5% off coupon.
Don't ask me.
A 5-pack of ultrasonic sensors for my Raspberry Pi this morning and saved 50 cents.
I'll ask Jeff Bezos next time we're on a call.
On a one-on-one?
Yeah, our next
Thank
one-on-one.
You. Yeah, make sure you follow up on that next week in our meeting. At the agenda.
My partner has been getting recently a ton of emails for Elwood Reynolds. This happens periodically, and eventually the person, because it happened a couple years ago, because she's got a Gmail account and sort of a, you know, generic sort of name account, but it's not her actual name; it's her initials. She got something before, and eventually they stopped because probably the person figured out that wasn't their email address. But Elwood is persistent, and Elwood was signing up for a home security system. And so she got one day, she got like 20 emails for like password reset or like activation emails for his home security. And like, Elwood really needs to know what his email address is before he can activate home security, because he's got some problems if he doesn't know his own email address.
Well, there's some security issues that are happening clearly across the board for Elwood that need to be locked down.
There was a car salesman in Minnesota by the name of Norman Coco at a Toyota dealership who sold a car to someone whose email address was close to mine. So every year, for years, I would get a, hey, it's your anniversary of buying this car from Norman
Coco. Oh, no.
So I the first year I replied, I'm like, hey, this is the wrong email address. Heard nothing. I forgot about it. And the next year came by, and I got this email, and I saw, like, on my phone, like, an email from Norman Coco. Norman Coco, that name sounds familiar. Open the email, I'm like, son of a bitch! I don't know why. It really got me mad, though. So then, like, it was my life's mission to, like, get Norman Coco's attention and get me off this list. So I sent an email, and I set a reminder for, like, every day for that week to email Norman Coco. No reply. So then I was like, well, now I'm going to start signing Norman Coco up for email he doesn't want to receive.
So email address. No.
But everything is opt-in these days, which is good because of jerks like me. So that went nowhere fast. So then I was like, well, okay, like maybe it's an automated system, right?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
So I tried to figure out like what system it was. I couldn't. And ultimately it finally stopped after like 6 or 7 years. So gkovar@gmail.com or whoever thinks they have that email address bought a car from someone else, or Norman Coco gave up trying to sell them a new car. On the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And now her first words will be Norman Coco.
I want to be like, where did she learn that? I don't know. Netflix?
So on the show, typically we have a topic of some sort, and the way it works is Allison, not Alison either, although that's kind of cool.
That's cool. I might adopt that.
Yeah. Bring us a topic, something to talk about, and Gary and I don't know what it is and probably don't know anything about it. And then we attempt to discuss the topic for a period of time until we stop. And then we find out what it actually is. And then we answer questions if there are any. I actually explained this topic to my dad, this concept to my dad. This is what the show does. And I gave him the example of cryptozoology. And he did pretty well. Maybe he needs to be a guest.
Nice.
Oh, how much fun would it be to like, hey, on the line with me today is my dad.
Oh, I can't even imagine having my parents on the podcast. Right? Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Weird.
They'd be totally, I think they'd be game for it, only because it's like they love things like Balderdash and they love BSing people, which is a really interesting quality to have.
I might wait until after he retires to invite him on, though. Probably he'll have a little bit more time then.
Time to explore the topic, which the topic is not Norman Coco. The topic.
Oh. Well, we already talked about Norman Coco.
Yeah, I know. It's like already explained. The topic is R.H. Null.
R.H.
R.H. Null?
Yeah.
Can you spell it?
R.H. space null, N-U-L-L.
It's left-handedness. Is it not? Clearly, it's left-handedness.
That's, I think we should just end the podcast right there, because that's, I don't think, it's like the quickest, weirdest answer. And yet it makes the most sense. It makes more sense than what it actually is.
Don't. Well, we can edit Wikipedia.
This is what it is.
Yeah. Previously thought to be ... Actually.
As a left-handed person, I love that answer. Oh, I'm not left-handed. I'm original.
I'm under attack. Hold on.
All of a sudden, Gary disappears from screen because he's taken down by a gigantic animal.
RH null. I want it to be RX null.
Why?
Just so it can be a no prescription bound. or like,
but maybe the doctor's handwriting is so
illegible. Bad. Yeah.
That I've even like I've misspoken. It's not even RH null. I'm like, oh, maybe it is. Maybe it is an X.
Well, good old Ricky Henderson Null was once the president of the Null Foundation, and founded the Null Foundation in 1900. And then when the Y2K bug became a thing, Ricky Henderson Null was shortened to RH Null, and it was used to describe the turning of the years on computers.
Doesn't RH, I feel like this has to do with blood. Like, I'm A positive RH Null.
But what does it mean?
What does it mean?
But
I also want to know what the Null Foundation is like. Do they give grants? Are they like, can you be a fellow of Null Foundation?
What do they do? Not much.
Yeah, exactly. It's a think tank.
The board of directors just sort of, do they even meet?
No.
Do we have quorum?
They meet on every Null Wednesday.
Every Null Wednesday. There's lots of cancellations happening. I just can't make it this week. I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry. My schedule has nothing on it.
I am absolutely empty for this week. Just the way we like it here at the Null Foundation.
Send that invite.
And all the door handles are just zeros with like a big.
Wouldn't they just be like a hole where a door handle should be?
Yeah. Maybe not even a door. Maybe I'm giving them way too much credit. Why do they even have an office space?
Yeah. Like, what's your address?
Well, it's like platform 9 3/4.
Yes. Yeah.
Man.
It all comes back to Harry Potter.
I like thinking of the Null Foundation as an alternative to the Acme Company. You know, because Acme is in every cartoon ever, so the Null Foundation is like their antithesis.
Yeah. So like instead of their products, like,
and Acme makes everything, so Null makes.
Wile E. Coyote always has problems with Acme products, right? He should order from Null.
Yeah, and then they would never come.
Yeah, when is it being delivered?
Delivery
estimation. Really compelling audio content right now.
Oh, that's the saddest delivery estimation.
Null. Yeah. So RH Null, I don't know. I don't know what it has to do with blood, Gary. I think that you might be onto something. The RH factor is null, but what is RH? Yeah. I don't know.
Riboflavin?
No.
Well, do we you said that with a little bit of confidence. What is riboflavin?
I have no idea. Because it's a long word, and I think that they can measure how much riboflavin you have by your blood.
Riboflavin hematype.
I feel like riboflavin is in cereal.
Yeah, but it's like what's that other stuff? Iron. Like iron's in your blood, but you get it from other stuff, right?
It's exactly like iron.
Yeah, riboflavin and iron are essentially like the same things.
They go together like peanut butter and eggs.
I mean, iron is an element. Riboflavin clearly isn't. It rolls off your tongue. Riboflavin. Name for.
For our less than loyal listeners, ribo. Our backgrounds are not in science. Clearly. We're more of an arts background type people.
I still think it has something to do with a blood measurement.
Sure. You have no RH in your blood.
I think that you have no markers for RH in your blood. Your RH null. Like, we couldn't find any. We need more blood. Then we can get a definitive answer.
What is RH then?
Mm-hmm.
It's the riboflavin hematite. which is a measurement of how much cereal you've consumed.
I'm picturing sitting in a waiting room and you coming in like a white lab coat and trying to just be like, your riboflavin hematobin is just like very low, and
we're going to either need to do a blood transfusion or you're going to need to eat far more Lucky Charms.
You either need more or less blood. We're going to try one.
The 50-50, and that's the way science works.
We're putting more in one arm and taking some out of the other arm.
Yeah.
It's like Dr. Spaceman from 30 Rock.
Yeah, I feel like you're like two steps away from using leeches instead of like actual medical equipment.
Isn't putting blood in and taking blood out of
Christmas in my stocking, so that probably is two steps away from.
Isn't putting blood in and taking blood out literally a dialysis?
It's different blood.
Different blood.
Trust me, I'm not a doctor.
I trust you, Gary.
I'm gonna keep a lab coat on hand for a future episode and just throw it on when I start talking out of my rear.
Talking sciencey.
Yeah, pretending to talk sciencey.
We know when the lab coat comes out.
It sounds like a segment we should have. Talking sciencey with Binary Jazz.
I told you my middle school teacher called me Dr. Kovar, right? Middle school science teacher?
No.
Like jokingly, or they were confident?
I don't know. It's just like the first week of school, he started calling me Dr. Kovar, and that was it for the semester, or for the year, I guess, because we didn't do semesters at the middle school. So Mr. Shea was calling me Dr. Kovar. Everyone else got their first name, but I was Dr. Kovar.
Interesting.
Probably because I was like a smart-ass, lippy kid, so I'm sure I said something. He said, thank you, Dr. Kovar, and then it stuck.
Was the teacher an actual doctor?
No, he was not. He was great, though. He had,
I feel like,
back in the early 90s, and he had somehow gotten the school to hook up the free NASA feed that schools could get. So when you finished your work, you could go watch the NASA channel in the back of his classroom. And we did some, like, we fooled around with video editing and stuff. And, I mean, he was like, you know, when you talked about, like, atmosphere, he would do the bell jar with an inflated balloon in there to start class and just push the button and stand there as the balloon expanded and totally exploded inside the bell jar. It was good science. He was fantastic.
I feel like if he was actually a doctor, he'd be less flippant with the use of the title of doctor. Because I had a teacher in high school, chemistry teacher, who was a doctor. He had a doctorate, and he insisted that he be referred to as Doctor, whatever his last name was, I can't remember, or Doc. But like, doctor needed to be included, and you do not, he is not Mr. He made the old, like, I didn't go to eight years of medical school to be called Mr. I am doctor. It was a big deal. So I feel like he would not be calling people in his class doctor as a joke, because
counterpoint
of school.
One of our QA folks, is a professor at a school here in Florida. I think it's a college, not a university. I don't know. But he is a doctor, and I didn't know that. And I said something and called him doctor. And he's like, yeah, actually, I am. What? So some doctors aren't stuck up about it.
Some people fly under the radar. I've had teachers in my past that have done kind of both, they flipped both, where I didn't know they had their doctorate until later. And then also the stodgy, like, I didn't do this many years of school to be called Mr. like you peons and schmoes.
Well, it's really,
it's
really funny, because he was totally doing it just to be an asshole about it. Like, consciously be an asshole. Not like he's stuffy or stuck up or anything. He was just being an asshole. Like, and he was like, cause that was a sort of, cause he was like a really young teacher. And which was sort of, you know, I think probably just got out of school or recently. And that's why he's teaching high school. And like, he would hang out with students, and it turned out later doing drugs and date students. So that was a thing.
Great. Oh, we've got to have one of those teachers in the back.
You know.
So he was like a holistic asshole. I mean, he was an asshole about one thing. He was
all
an
around. All around. But like, you know, the fun kind.
You know what you're getting.
The kind that, you know, you go to a Pet Shop Boys concert with, and do some MDMA with, you know, as a casual thing.
Super cash. Just every year of high school.
Not that that totally happened to a friend of mine or anything.
Oh.
And then my best story.
Is so specific.
My best story about this experience was that at said Pet Shop Boys concert, which may or may not have actually happened, he referred to it as fisting music.
What?
He's like, this is such fisting music. It makes me want to shove my hand up another man's rectum.
Wow.
To Pet Shop Boys.
That's your name? Don't eat Coco.
Well, I'm never going to listen to Pet Shop Boys.
Dr. Coco's prison time right now.
Sort of changes your perception of Pet Shop Boys.
Really does. I don't know if I appreciate that.
Here we are, Binary Jazz ruining Pet Shop Boys for everyone.
Binary Jazz ruining Pet Shop Boys since 19...
Okay, so what is RH null?
Yeah, we're at the time where we need to know the answer.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So it is a rare blood disorder. So RH is a type of
blood.
Antigen within red blood cells. And it's an addition to, so like you have your normal blood types like A, B, O, like all the, but it's an addition to that. So you can be like A negative, RH null on top of it. And they originally thought that people with RH null blood were able to basically live to survival to like a full adulthood. But they can, and there's like maybe 30 to 40 documented cases of people with RH null blood, and it's incredibly rare. So if they have any medical issues, that obviously it's a huge problem.
Does that make it so that they can't get blood transfusions because there is no RH null blood at the blood bank?
Yeah, basically, because it's like there's just, and also those are the only documented cases. So a lot of the time, because if people don't have maybe a high number of medical issues, then it wouldn't actually be ever a thing that would arise, because you wouldn't have the blood tests to know that you are RH null in addition to your normal blood.
So what does RH stand for?
It's a good question. I don't know. Let's look.
We should set up an e-shop where we sell buttons to say, that's a good question.
That's a good question. But they call, right. Then there's like little articles that talk about like golden blood, and like it's the rarest blood, and they wax very poetic about these people. I don't know if RH actually stands for anything. No one's breaking it down. It's just the RH system. That's weird though.
Really hard to find.
Really hard, yeah.
really hard.
The last three words are hyphenated. Really hard to find.
RH null. Oh, now I'm getting into like incredible biology academia here. I'll report back.
We're going to crowdsource funding to buy access to some academic documents on this.
Get a real auto, like, a real bibliography footnote situation happening.
That would be a change. I actually realized this morning that I hadn't even done notes or anything from the last episode. So like having actual footnotes would be a major step up.
I like that footnote step up.
Ooh, yeah, that was
harkening back to our first episode, barefoot running,
which was
a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yes. Let's see.
Was that in 2018 or was that at the end of 2017?
It was 2018. It was actually our first episode was a year ago last week. We have actually officially gone through an entire year.
What?
January 4th, 2018 was Barefoot Running.
That's amazing.
Firm handshakes all around.
Pats on the back, everybody. Proud of us.
Yeah. Hot chocolate for everyone.
I'm into this.
Okay, so do you have any questions? We did not have any listener submitted questions.
No, I was relying on you, faithful listeners. Yeah. I've got nothing.
We've got one question from Allison from November that we could do. I don't think.
Where's November?
What year is November?
No, I said, where is November?
Where is November? Last year.
Allison from November.
Oh, I see.
I said it. I've been doing dad jokes for like weeks straight here, and I talking to human beings after like 3 days without is.
At least I like that we're classified as human beings.
I don't think we have any Twitter.
Well, I mean, you're not RH null, so.
No, not yet. Not that I know of.
So, listeners, if you would like to submit us a question, please do. And we will determine the RH null factor of your tweet through a very complicated process of airing it on the show and then answering the question.
Rolling down the window and looking for a rest area.
You can do it on Twitter, or you can go to binaryjazz.us, and there's a form on that page somewhere, and you can just put your question right in there. And so we
and the form is not subject to government shutdown, so perfect. You can submit and we will get it.
And we will receive the email somehow. Even if it just dodges our inboxes and goes straight to spam, we will get it eventually. Because it's all saved.
You still read spam?
Occasionally. That's where, that's where all my binary jazz emails go.
Yikes. All I get is email from Norman Coco, so
I don't even know what email is. Not from Norman Coco. Our question from November is, whom would you want to be your amazing race partner?
Allison.
Yes. Why? What makes you think that is a good idea?
Several reasons. One, I think that you have like an incredible wealth of knowledge that we would pop up in a situation and be like, oh, yeah, bam.
Like, we clearly need to order the green curry in this situation.
Yeah, I feel like that you are observant of culture. So I feel like you would pick up on things that would matter in the context of the Amazing Race.
So I'm going to be a damn good text because I have never watched. I've never watched Amazing Race, so I would need some context about what is involved. And I'm guessing it's not running.
Have you seen NASCAR?
Yes.
Total different kind of racing.
Right.
I was like, how are you going to compare this to NASCAR?
Think of NASCAR and then think of the opposite.
I do feel like there's some running involved, though. I feel like that's where
I don't know.
Because I feel like time is of the essence. They're trying to get from, like, destination to destination. And I feel like that
it's just as likely, though, in the first episode we find ourselves in a tea shop and talk about why the time didn't matter.
Is this fine. Like
whatever,
like a real life version of the game Ticket to Ride?
I haven't played Ticket to Ride.
Where you're trying to like get from one place to another place and go the longest distance.
Yeah,
it's like a global scavenger hunt.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of.
Then I would probably choose my partner, Aaron.
Yeah.
Because of basically the same reason that you gave for choosing Allison.
You have to like think fast and like also get along with the person and like hope for the best with your backpack situation as well.
See, I think I'd be probably better at the thinking fast and she'd be better at the thinking correct.
Yeah. So like you'd spitball all the ideas and then she'd be like, we're choosing like,
no.
Let's go. Like these are the winners from that brainstorm.
Yeah, and I mean we've been partners for going on 17 years, so
it's worked
so far.
We've got communication. I think the bummer about Amazing Race is that I feel like so much of it is like the antithesis of my travel style where they like jet through and they don't seem to like really get to enjoy the actual place to the extent that like I would want to be like, let's sit in a coffee shop for a while. So Gary, that's what you would have to look forward to if we were partners on The Amazing Race, is that I'd be like, we're not going to win The Amazing Race, but by gum, we're going to enjoy each of these destinations.
That's fine. I'm cool with that.
And then the producers of the show would probably be really upset because we'd be like, oh, we're not right.
Edit us out entirely. The opening credit, we would be like this like blurred blob when we go to like get our first clue.
We're just like sitting in a restaurant being like, this is an amazing recommendation. This is great. I'm glad we did our
research. Can we catch this flight outside?
Yeah.
The Western Hemisphere? Nah, there's enough to see here first. We'll catch up.
Let's stay here a few more days. Why not?
Yeah, we'll catch up. It'll be fine.
Let them sprint and sweat. It's fine.
Seems like a lot of work, that running thing.
Seems like a lot of work.
You clapping because we're done?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It wasn't that bad.
It was fun. It's been a while.
And next episode, we'll all have to wear masks, and then we will all have to mask our voices, and then the listeners will have to figure out who... Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.